following Christ into humility, believing and knowing. Hey, a little boy, one cold morning, like it was cold in here this morning, was fascinated by the electric heater that his dad brought out. And he just stared at those red glowing coils in there. And he said, "Watch out, son. Those coils are hot." "Yeah, Dad." And for a while, he was careful about that. But his dad had to go do something. The little boy, he stared at those coils. And he tried his best to reach in there and touch them. And, you know, ouch! His finger hurt. And he had, in that moment, he went from believing his dad that the coil was hot to knowing that the coil was hot. Before someone becomes a Christian, they go from unbelief to believing that there really is a God. But after they've repented of their sins and asked Jesus in, they should go from believing there is a God to knowing God. Today's scripture passage, we'll see that Paul called the believers at Philippi. That's what we're going through right now, the book of Philippi, Philippians, sorry, the town of Philippi. We'll see that Paul called the believers to a deeper level of knowing God. So here's the passage, Philippians chapter 2. "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen? If any. So Paul began this passage, chapter 2, with a series of if anys. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing of the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. What were all those if anys? If any encouragement from Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, and if any tenderness and compassion. We can see Paul is leading up to a big then, you know, if then. I guess it'd go this way for you guys. If then phrasing. Do you think Paul is really wondering if they have any of these things? Or is Paul pointing out things that are normal things that believers should have if they have received Christ? Paul is pointing out real things that should be normal in believers' lives. If you today are in Christ, you should already have some encouragement from Christ. If you are in Christ, then you should, of course, have some comfort from his love. Hey, he died for you and me. He saved you, and he's forgiven you. If you are in Christ, then you should have the wisdom and the guidance and many other things that just come from the Holy Spirit being a part of your life. Oh, and you should have tenderness and compassion too. What follows the then is a challenge to move on to the next level. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, and being of one spirit and of one mind. You're like-minded, same love, one spirit, one mind. This is a call to Christian unity, like the community unity that we saw out there with all that worship yesterday. I was talking to one of the pastors about that. He looked funny. I'd never seen him, you know, with a hood on before. There are many different styles and expressions of worship, but we should all have a desire to worship God. There are many ways to organize a church, but we should all have a desire to come together with other believers. There are many ways to show compassion to the poor and the needy, yet we should all have a measure of compassion. You know, one advantage in a small church is there are fewer opinions, so unity is a little easier to reach. In Christ, we should all feel that abortion is wrong, except in the cases where it is saving the mother's life, like a tubal pregnancy, where that child, that baby is going to die and needs to come out before the mother dies as well. God, of course, can forgive any of our choices when we come to him. But, you know, so in general, Christians should agree, should be against abortion because it's taking of an innocent life. If the Philippians would move up from encouragement and comfort and sharing of the same spirit to the next level, to unity, that will make Paul's joy complete. Paul is going to follow up with more instruction and then a huge example from Christ's life. So the call to humility: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Now notice that Paul didn't say do nothing out of ambition, because ambition can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing. Paul had the ambition to preach Christ where no one had preached before. That was a preference of his. That's why he was always going out and extending the range of the gospel. Ambition may drive one person to build a hospital for a community. Ambition can drive us to grow in Christ. But selfish ambition will keep us from rejoicing when God uses your brother or sister to do something that you were hoping to get praised for. Selfish ambition will drive us apart. And as I was writing this, the Olympic skater Tanya Harding came to mind, and her ambition to get on the Olympic team for skating drove her to organize for someone to attack her closest rival. I wrote her name down. Yep, you got it. January 1994. See, some of my facts, I don't know. I have to Google, and I write them down. How many, I wonder, with bad ambition, I wonder just how many accidents and unrelated attacks have happened where the real cause was rivalry between one athlete and another. Now in church, I'm pretty sure that most of our rivalries in church don't end up with someone being hired to rough up the other guy or gal. At least I hope not. But people do get hurt in church. It's hard enough, really, to gather a group of diverse people and get them all to get along and agree. But if we're not united through Christ, it's even harder. When selfish ambition keeps us from playing nice together, church doesn't grow. Why should it? Let's focus on verse 4 for a minute. So, from the NIV, not looking at your own interest, but to the interest of the others. The translation appears to have, you are not looking at your own interests, but to other interests. Now, the ESV version has, let each of you look not only to your own interests, so it allows looking at your own interests, but also to the interest of others. And, you know, the different Bible versions seem kind of split on whether it's okay to look to your own interests as well as looking at others. And my Bible that I got from Pastor Appreciation last year or the year before for verse 4 says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. But the word merely, you can see there, is italicized. That is because it's not in the text, but the translators believed it would make sense to put it there. And so, at this point, you know, I've got some ambiguity about it. What exactly the scripture's trying to say. You may ask, well, Dave, you know, what's the difference between looking after others' interests and just being a doormat? Now, if you're a doormat, then you've given control of what you're going to do with your life, your time, your resources to anybody who asks you. But if you can look at your own interests as well, or if you're guided by the Holy Spirit, there's kind of a pick and choose, and you can have a bit of balance in your life. In a recent post from Gordon Elliott, he shared that it's hard to know who to help and how much to help, how much to give. Just before leaving Liberia, they were starting having a problem of people showing up at the gate to the mission compound. And guys would be there begging, give me money, I will come to your church, give me money. And they even roughed up, you know, mission compound, a guard at the gate. They even roughed up the gate, the guard, not the gate, the guard. One night, or day, or one time. Now, Paul has a huge example of what he means by humility. The humility of Christ. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ. What is that mindset? Well, verse 6. Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. When mankind needed saving, the Godhead, you know I usually don't like that word, that Trinity relationship of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they never had an argument. They never had a conversation like this where the Father said, hey, Son, they need saving. You go save them. You go suffer and die and save them. And the Son saying, no, you go save them. Or send the Holy Spirit to save them. I don't want to do it. I don't want to be so degraded. You know, they never had that conversation because they're in unity. So, yep, the pre-incarnate Christ didn't feel it was beneath his dignity to empty himself and be born a human being. He must have been secure in his relationship with the Father, that the Father loves him so. So, verses 6 to 8, who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage, rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Let me tell you, that's a lot of humbling from God to infant in the womb. That's a lot of obedience from baby through 33 years of life to death on a cross. And that's the kind of mindset that Paul wants to see in the Philippians. That's the kind of mindset God wants to see in us, a humble mindset. But cheer up, it's not all loss. When Jesus lived to please his Father and to save us, he had a huge reward. Verse 9, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our motive should be to please Christ, but by example here, I assume that if we humble ourselves, putting others' interests ahead of us, God will see, God will reward. But don't expect it to be money. Don't expect some big reward now because of how wonderfully you humble yourself. Not in this life. You may have noticed that the text changed. Well, it's not real obvious there. In my Bible, it's quite obvious. It looks like how the Psalms are laid out, because they're pretty sure from verse 6 to verse 11 was an early song in the church. They'd use that phrase in worship. And when we're all done with church, you just might hear a song that puts those verses to music. Yeah, but they would have sung it perhaps as a chant as they gathered together, because some of the early worship was chanting, which can sound pretty but monotonous. What the little boy learned, the little boy we began with moved from believing that electric heaters are hot to knowing that coils are hot. I trust and hope that you have already gone from unbelief to belief in God. And let me just ask, are you a Christian? Do you need Christ in your heart today? Are you encouraged by Christ? His comfort, his love. Do you share the Holy Spirit? Do you have any more tenderness or compassion in your heart? Or as the King James has it, do you have any tenderness in your bowels? That's what it says. If not, and actually the Greek, the word is more towards bowels. It's just, you know, like in some cultures, the natives will talk about, you know, instead of us saying my heart is breaking, they'll say, you know, my throat is breaking, or they have different parts of the body associated with all those feelings that we know belong to the heart. If not, seek him. You know, if you don't have those things, if you don't have much in Christ, well, seek him in prayer, meet him in his word. But if you already are encouraged, comforted, have the Spirit, have tenderness and compassion, then what about moving to a deeper commitment? Consider putting others' interests before yours through humble service to others. It's seldom do people line up and cheer when we serve, But heaven will notice and be glad. Won't you make a deeper commitment to God today? Let's pray. Father, you know all of our hearts and where we're each one of us is at. Help us right now to know where we're at with you as well, and to deepen our commitment to you, know you better through your word, through prayer, and through fellowship. We trust these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You're dismissed and pretty